Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast, where we talk about things after weird things. We often talk about creativity, being a professional, trying to find work-life balance. Not so much the balance, but more about how to be ambitious and try to accomplish everything and minimize your failures, even though they're going to happen. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello!
And joining us here is Mr. Jonathan Madagin.
Hello.
Who is very interesting that we spent weird things talking about what work Jonathan's done at the UC Santa Barbara Experimental Cosmology Lab, and what they've been doing from everything from doing telescopes to detect, you know, the foreground radiation map of the universe, you know, cosmology, imaging, laser propulsions, asteroid deflections, all sorts of crazy stuff. That's his day job as a coordinator of the lab, facilitating these things, helping organize things, working on papers, all of this, which a project might be. One day is he's in their pit where they're welding this big, huge array, this big, huge telescope to go into a container to go to Greenland. Or he's upstairs talking to Nick, who is trying to put together, or Nick's actually welding that too. But Nick is working on a tiny, tiny little wafer out of titanium that's going to be a prototype for a spacecraft to be sent via laser to the next star system, maybe carrying tardigrade passengers or something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. A lot of crazy stuff. That's his day job. Jonathan was helpful because we worked with a friend on a student film, and it was a very ambitious student film. It's looking fantastic, but Jonathan came along to help out because Jonathan, his hobby is filmmaking, and I had people on the set point out the fact that Jonathan carries an entire film production studio in his car, basically, when he goes to projects like this. Every piece of, we're like, oh, well, we light it. Oh, Jonathan has a special light that can do this. Oh, we need to do this or whatever. Oh, how are we going to mount this red camera to this, you know, to this board? You know, Jonathan's got a mounting bracket for this. Jonathan has this. Jonathan's been working in production as a hobby on the side for years. For how many? 5 years now?
Since junior high.
Yeah. So.
Now, obviously, in the Los Angeles area, you have a tremendous opportunity for working on people who are making things. Where did you get your start doing it? Like, what inspired you to begin working on in production?
So it started in I didn't fit into my church's junior high group, so I started working in the production room there, doing like church events inside and outside the church. Then that ballooned into like various outside projects. And then my best friend asked me to help him on a movie set, and that was probably the best day of my life.
So this was a movie that he was involved with, or was he doing it? Was it, was it friends screwing around, or was it like a big
thing?
He
wrote and directed.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So once he kind of got that bug for seeing that, you know, he just, I've watched, you know, since I've met you, you know, I've watched your enthusiasm for that. Jonathan actually helped on my Discovery Channel show. You know, he started off technically helping with some stuff, and then we're on location and we need to go shoot some stuff. Jonathan's proficiency in everything from cameras to sound. Next thing I know, Jonathan's holding the boom and doing sound because they, you know how to do this? Jonathan does it. He does it competently. And I would say, I want to bring all this up because what's impressed me, one of the things that's impressed me about you is that you are an electrical engineer, and you really know your electrical engineering, and you point this out to me every time I say something stupid. And you're also now working in space, other sorts of technology, areas like this and fields of this. But you've also found the time to develop this knowledge of film craft. And I've watched people who are very experienced about this, who work professionally in this, who are very impressed by how much you know, in some cases more than they do about this. Mm-hmm. And is it because you just spend a lot of time playing with equipment? Why is it? How have you acquired this on top of everything else?
So some of the best advice I've heard on the subject is one simple word: shoot.
Yeah.
Shoot. Make things.
So
shoot,
you just continually, every time someone says, "Oh, I need a photo shoot. Oh, you know, I need sound on this thing. Whatever." It's like you keep saying yes. You keep perfecting your craft. You keep figuring stuff out, and then. It's also about how do you spend your little pockets of time? Everyone has those like those annoying 5 minutes, 10 minutes you're waiting for something. What are you really doing with that? You know, yes, there's endless games you can play on your phone, but, you know, I find myself watching tech reviews of video equipment. You know, what's the latest stuff that's coming out? You watch and learn from the people who have the experience. Surround yourself with those types of people because that's what's going to elevate you. When you're looking at stuff online, you want to sort of curate what you're watching to not just be looking at, oh, this YouTuber figured out how to do this and this and that. You want to look at, like, who's actually making quality stuff that you would want to emulate.
It's a very interesting observation because I know that I find my, like, the whole idea of the kind of the pocket time kind of thing is I'm pulling up, like, I'm always doing that. If I have a down moment, if I'm working on a book, it's something like for that. I'm always pulling like, oh, this is an interesting example of code that I like. Oh, this is an interesting research paper. I'm like, I can't read it now, but I'm going to save that. And then when I find I have a few minutes, I do that. And then talking with my friend about the post-production needs of this sort of stuff, I'm like, man, there's some techniques, things like this. I want to get a better understanding of so that by the time that conversation comes up, I'm there. One of the things I've noticed that people who succeed and win, they don't wait for the homework. They do it in advance. By the time they get there, they're already several steps ahead. When I would go talk at like arts colleges and stuff like this, I could spot the student that was going to be the top of their class because they were the ones that were making and doing things ahead of the semester, ahead of time, whatever. They were already doing things. They were already, yeah, I'm going to make a film next semester, but on this weekend, I'm going to go shoot this thing. I'm going to go do this thing. Or I'm studying computer animation. But my friends and I, we went off to SIGGRAPH to go watch this sort of stuff as students. They're not waiting to be told, now you got to go learn this. And that is the biggest mistake I've seen. People who are the most successful people I know don't wait to be told how to do something, even if they're in college or a program they'll teach them. They get ahead of everybody else, partially because they're just excited about it. They just want to go learn and do this.
And, you know, this even translates over to the work I did in the research lab because I gave lab tours to students who were interested in joining, and we had maybe a 2% return rate on these folks. You know, they'd get excited on the tour, but the trouble was...
This was for recruiting.
Yeah, for recruiting students in the lab. And the trouble was that when they would come in is they would sit around and say, well, what do you want me to do? And it's like, that is the wrong mentality. If you're joining any workplace, you need to be the person that's on top of things, figuring out what other people need, and even bringing your own solutions to the table. And that's the kind of mentality you want when you're on a film set, when you're, you know, working in a research lab or like any job. Employers really will appreciate that and you'll stand out.
And that's, you know, specifically in the world of production, you know, be it television or movies, the biggest thing that I kind of found when I was working on TV stuff with Andrew was like everybody I knew that was like actually running stuff that was actually kind of working on a regular basis had literally just started off being, I mean, the thing that I always heard was, you know, your career begins by everybody noticing which of the PAs are running or moving fast and which of them are standing around. Right. And it's like, it's so funny to think of it, but it's like literally that's it, because the fast PAs are the ones that learn the equipment. Right. Because again, it's like, Jonathan's running sound, A, because he knows it, and B, because he's got an aptitude for it, and he wants to learn it, and to the point where they were like, oh, just hold this. Okay, you know what you're doing? Cool. Then we can always – there's always need for more expertise on any kind of shooting set than right. is there, right? So anybody can do anything else. You're always – like, effort and discipline are it. Everything else can be taught. Everything else can be learned. Everything else can be explained to you. Like, it's just if you have that, then you're only stacking skills on skills on skills.
Precisely. And, you know, also Andrew's talked about this, is building your skill set. You know, having the I'm going to use this dangerous word here, having the humility to be able to put yourself in any position and learn from someone. We had on this set an actor who we brought on as a PA, and it was his first time on crew, but he had this mentality of I'm going to do a great job. And he like organized the snack table. He did an amazing job at the services. And that was because he was willing to like, to put himself in that position and do a great job. You could easily have gotten into that role with a different mentality of like, I'm an actor. like, don't, this is beneath me, I won't do this well. But if you learn all the different aspects of your job and everyone else's job, you're going to be much more valuable to those who are employing you.
Yeah, not to mention that they're going to make you look good. I mean, that's always the biggest, the funniest thing.
Here's like, we want to have a great craft services table and all this, because you're going to have, you know, you're working late nights. You want people to all be able to go in there and find what they want. You want to keep it clean and organized and then be proactive. And they're like, everything I hoped for, this guy did, and he exceeded that. And there's some, the danger can be people like, well, I guess he's a great PA, but it's like, no, this is a person's, their mind is on things. And you have to wrestle with that. Sometimes you're so confident in one thing, they don't realize you know another. But, you know, I've watched this happen where, hey, the PA is going to go hold a flashlight for the camera, you know, camera department, and holding the flashlight over and they're setting something up and go like, oh, I got that tool. I have that. They give them the tool and like, oh, yeah, do you know how to do this? Yeah, sure. And then they do it and they're like, oh, okay, then this person knows this. And then next time, like, hey, I need an AC. And like, I'm going to ask so-and-so if they can do AC work on this. They're a PA, but I found out they have this knowledge set. That happens, you know, or, you know, the gaffer's like, hey, I can put this, you know, I can have the PA stand here while I set this up. Like, oh, I can fix that for you. Okay, would you know how to adjust this? Like, yeah, sure, I got that. Then, like, next time, let's make this person a gaffer and then move this person. Then you find a lot of that. I got asked to build a couple props years ago for a commercial that was trying to get something done. And so I built a couple props for them, showed up, set it up. Next shoot, they said they brought me back to work under the prop master, is just the head, you know, the assistant to the prop master. Third one, he couldn't do it. They brought me back in as the property master, right? And then working right under the art director. And then I got a call a little while later, like this was in a span of weeks. I went from never having done that in that capacity, yeah, film or TV, to, you know, within like 6 weeks later, I got a call to operate a union position on a feature film doing props. Because
competent human being.
Well, it's, yeah, I was super proactive about, I would look at the list of things they needed and stuff like this, and I'd be proactive. I'd already have stuff in my car because I saw like, oh, they're going to need this. And I'd be like, oh man, if that breaks, let me already have glue and stuff on ready on me. Get this. Let me get this ready because I don't think they've thought around this problem here. And you always have 20 more solutions than you're ever going to need. And you don't need to tell everybody, I had ways to do all this. Just have that way, and when it's ready, then all of a sudden you're a miracle worker.
Well, and this is something about human nature in general, but I think it's really exaggerated in any kind, in stuff like this, where it's like per gig, you have to get this done. Everybody above you just doesn't want to be humiliated. Like if they have a thing they need for it to go well, because everyone has somebody else above them or watching them that is going to point out when things go wrong. So if you want to be, and this is specifically in production, if you want to be involved in it, literally just every time that something in no industry meticulously catalogs where things failed, like television and film production, just be the part that doesn't go wrong. And if you want to really excel, be part of the reason why other things around you didn't go wrong as well, because that's where everything, like, now all of a sudden, like Andrew said, all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you're the guy who did this. Cool. Great. Wow. That guy isn't able to show up. Can we get this guy? Sure. Awesome. And then next thing you know, you're just moving up and up and up, because each time you've been given a new thing, everything went well. Everything around you went well. This is the currency of all existence.
And it's the skills translate over. What makes him a good lab coordinator is what makes him really good to have on set, where you can be an AD, you can do a lot of different things, or direct, whatever, is that knowing all those parts of that. So Jonathan's a very good example of somebody who said, okay, I know I'm an electrical engineer, I know I'm studying this, but I also have this passion to film, and I'm going to be as proficient as this. There's the school track, the educational track, which I'm going to do. But in my own hobbies, I'm going to become as proficient as I should be as a professional. Mm-hmm. And it's a skill. We've talked before about, you know, skill multipliers and the part of the skill stack, and that adds considerably. And that was extremely advantageous for me because, hey, Discovery Channel, you know, says, hey, we like this crazy idea you have. And then I'm like, okay, well, there's an engineering component to this, maybe. And I said, let me bring in, you know, my friend who's got a lot of background in this and knows more about this than I do. And so let me have him in to help with this. And then all of a sudden we're on set and it's like, hey, yeah, we solved that part of the problem, but tight crew, where we're going here, want to help us get some stuff done. And then he's ready to go do that. And that becomes a person that you're like, when I plan productions and stuff, and I know if he has time, I'm like, I'll find a title for him and I'll put him in there. knowing that we'll figure out what he's going to do afterwards. And because you know, you're that capable. Yeah. And I did that with Justin too. I knew that what drew me to Justin was that you know, Justin's, as far as understanding where everybody was and trying to get things are, the status of things, the progress of things were, it was like, let me find a role, a title for him to get him in there, because I know when he's there, everybody's happy that he's around. When I did my A&E show with Joke and Biagio, they were trying to figure out, how can we get Justin involved? You know, how can we get Justin involved in this project? Because it was, we knew having him on set, he was the right kind of influencer. People were happier and things were moving, but also just solving a lot of story points, comedic things like that, was just very good. No ego was in it.
Yeah, and it was, you know, for Andrew, you know, there I was brought in on a bunch of stuff, and they weren't always connected. Like, you know, it was either as, you know, just production help, you know, baseline, or on the documentary series, I got brought in as a writer and a producer for it, or assistant producer for it, and it was like, you know, that's just a matter of like Andrew having the faith that you could drop me in. And even that, the documentary series, Andrew wasn't even there for the vast majority of it. I just, you know, went off to, it was the first time that I'd ever lived in LA. I just kind of jetted off to LA and lived by myself and worked on this show. And then, you know, totaled our friend Katie's car because I pulled into a gate the wrong way.
There's another part I'd like to highlight in there, which was the no ego. I mean, because every person you meet in life is going to have something that they can teach you. And if you approach a production shoot with that mentality, you're really going to go far. And there's a quote from Ronald Reagan. It's incredible what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a huge part is figuring. And again, and this might be very specific to kind of TV and film, but it's a very credit and blame accounting focused field where everybody wants to make sure that they get the credit for everything going right and they avoid the blame of everything going wrong or the thing that went wrong, the thing in capital letters that went wrong. Like, so there is a tremendous worth. I think the most successful people are the ones where they're maybe not taking every win that they can, and maybe they're getting closer to a failure than other people would because they want to take the risk of solving it. But then the benefit is you get the trust and the goodwill of solving the problem that other people want to wash their hands of because they don't want to be near the thing that might be going wrong. And you wind up getting the more valuable credit of other people pointing at you instead of you pointing at yourself. And that's huge.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
All right. Any picks on this topic or the subject? I can start.
Yeah, you go ahead.
You know, when it comes to filmmaking, give you two things I thought were super, super helpful. One, Robert Rodriguez's book, Rebel Without a Crew.
Yeah.
Really urgent to read this.
It's great.
Yeah, it's this great example of how he made the film El Mariachi, which is a $7,000 movie he made. And that's what launched Robert Rodriguez's career. Robert Rodriguez has now gone from super low budget indie director to guy running an entire TV channel with, you know, producing multiple shows and films, everything. He is an institution unto himself because he's a guy that looked at these things, figured out how to do these things fast and efficient. And out of necessity, he's like, I know you're supposed to have this many people on a crew. I don't have that many people. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't get this done. It's like, I'm figuring out a way to do it. You know, like, oh, if I can't do really, you know, extremely well staged scenes with compositional lighting, I'm going to use available lights. I'm going to use wide angles. I'm going to do this. He was a guy that just dove deep into this, made a really fun movie at El Mariachi. Rebel Without a Crew talks about that. And then if you watch El Mariachi and you listen to the sound or listen to the audio commentary, it's great. You listen to this guy describing what he did. And so if you have an interest in filmmaking, check this out, because all too often people, you get the attitude of, well, that's not how you do it, or you can't do this. And that's the thing when I grew up is when I get people saying, no, we can't do that, that can't be done, there could be like, how do we can do that? There's a difference between we can't do that to, I don't know how to do this, you know? It's difference between saying shutting a door and saying, okay, just so you know, there's a door here. I think it's closed, but I know you want to get either we don't go to the other side or we figure out how to do that. And that's
that's again the humility of it, is saying I don't know how to do something is
But also, like, sometimes people generalize, they don't realize that they think that nobody knows, you know, and I've been in many situations like, no, it can't be done. And I'm like, let's think about this and break it down. And then, you know, you've seen that, Justin, we worked together on set and productions like this. Like, no, I can't. Like, why are we starting off with, we can't do it? You know, why are we starting from there? Let's start with, hey, it's difficult and we got to be creative
there. Yeah.
Because we don't know what all the options are.
There are some very, very, very ornery prop departments that could probably learn that lesson.
Oh, we've had, yeah, that has been in the past. We've had that.
That's still, I just got like a rush of anger just reliving some of those memories, and I can only imagine how you feel.
Yeah, we've dealt with stuff before with, no, can't be done, can't be done, can't be done. I'm like, all right, give me 10 minutes.
Oh, look at that.
I guess if that's okay. I'm like, yes, it exactly satisfies the thing we were trying to do. And I know it was easier to say, no, it can't be done, because you're used to producers going, yeah, all right, we can't do it, move along. And I, you know. You know, having the experience of having to put on entire stage magic shows using cardboard and duct tape, you know, you're like, listen, if we'll hold together long enough, we can fake it, we can get it. Like, is it the ideal way? No. Do we want to just throw it out entirely? No. It's like, I always hate that. Like, I don't, I mean, if somebody says, I don't know how to do that, great answer. Better answer is, I don't know how to, oh, but let me think about it, or let's figure it out.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or here are the problems we're experiencing. Right. Like, yeah. Like we're trying to do this. This is where we're running into walls. Sometimes literally.
Yeah.
How can we make sure?
It's literally.
How can we make
sure? Yeah. And we've had that problem too, where bigger stuff, where we've been second guessed, and then we've watched somebody go through there and spend $15,000 on a thing that we said, no, don't do it this way. And then it fails on the day. And then we have to go in and go, now can we do our thing? Can we do it our way? And like, oh, wow, it works. You're like, yeah, it was $15,000 you wasted because you just were so full of your own idea. No, anyhow, I digress.
Anyway,
No anger.
Certainly no residual anger on that. You want to know? I'll stick with the Robert Rodriguez thing. Literally go to Robert Rodriguez's IMDb and pick the movie, if you have not seen any of them, that you would like the best, and buy that DVD, or I'm sure all these digital extras are available on iTunes, but... Not only for El Mariachi, but if you go to Desperado or Spy Kids or any of those films on the DVDs, he is consistently, at least I think he's still doing it, does his 10-minute film school, or where he just talks about lessons that he learned from that set and from all that and things that he's done forever. Here's the one thing I'll say about Robert Rodriguez. He was... In many ways, and if you look at his contemporaries and, you know, Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino to a lesser extent, but in terms of production, Robert Rodriguez is really kind of the, like, Crispus Attucks of the Revolutionary War of, like, no, just do it. Just go do it. Like, no matter what. And he won. That war is won on the side of the just do it people when it comes to film and television. When you can shoot what you can shoot on your phone, when you look at the explosion of where YouTube is, and now all of these gigantic gatekeepers have tremendously reduced power, but also are scrambling to find, wait, okay, so now who among the people that just went and did things has an audience that we can co-opt? Like, that's it. That's, you can wave the white flag, because the star making... What we think of as platforms now, and it's kind of a boiling frog thing in that I don't think people realize it, but it's a fundamentally different world in almost all popular entertainment than it was when even I was in high school. The idea of, oh no, a promising young film student, a promising young band is plucked from obscurity and then sent to the polishing academy that then makes them the people that they are, however much that was true to begin with. There's no that is a thing that doesn't happen now. You just hope that larger platforms will literally just put you as a fully finished thing on their platform, so more people will see you. And I think that is Robert Rodriguez to me was the first person that I can remember making a career on saying, like, not only should you just do it, but I'm going to show you. This is a democratization of what was, like, you know, I couldn't go to film school. So I'm going to show you how I learned, because now look at me. I'm selling my movie at Sundance.
Yeah. It's I would say that if I think about books that were very transformative, you know, for me and my attitude on stuff, and that was after that is when I went and made my first film. As I read that, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, don't be limited by, like, yeah, I'm not going to know everything and things are going to be crappy and whatever, but I will now understand the importance of learning these things. And I'll be spinning, you know, I'll get up 3 hours earlier to read my Canon X01 manual from, you know, cover to cover.
Read the manual.
Yeah, and read it again and know, like, oh, now this is what this meant. This was what this meant. And then go back and do it. You learn, you know, the military can train you to go to war in like 6-8 weeks, you know, and then they can put a gun in your hand and put you out there. And then the next week is where you learn probably the most things you're ever going to learn. And then after that, like, yeah, you can. Amazing what you can do in 90 days. Amazing what you can do when you put your feet to the fire and you get in there and you have to, your brain functions differently.
Yeah.
And you just go jump in and do it. And then you sit back and you watch stuff. And a lot of times when you shot it and you understand it, like, oh, this is what depth of field means. You know, like, yeah. Oh, this is why putting the microphone over in the corner was a really bad idea, even though it was closer to the people when it should have been in front of them over. You know, you learn that, you go like, oh, this is what happened. This is why this happened. And then your next time out, you watch, you have an exponential learning curve. And things just get better. So,
So my official pick will be 10 Minute Film Schools. And Bryce found a site where, you know, they are collected. But I would highly encourage you buying the entire Robert Rodriguez DVD collection. I think he's a tremendous filmmaker.
Any picks?
So if we do filmmaking picks, this could probably last an entire episode because I will just talk your ears off on film gear. but I'd say the camera is probably the least important piece of equipment. On your entire set. Sound is incredibly valuable. I mean, this is a podcast. You guys are listening, some of you, without the video. How popular are silent pictures these days?
Not at all.
Yeah, no. So,
except for that one that they gave the Oscar, because that's the Oscars.
So pay a lot of attention to your sound equipment, your sound guy. I'd say lighting. People get lazy with lighting these days because cameras have such incredible dynamic range and performance and the sensors and low light, blah, 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 blah. But a well-lit film is still a well-lit film. And I guess if you want a specific pick, I can recommend the Godox SL200. It's an LED light, incredibly powerful. We used it, the laser gun. Mm-hmm. You can add modifiers to it because it's got the standard Bowens S mount. So you can attach any sort of normal photography gear to that light.
Yeah, we used this because for Roshni's shoot, you know, she wanted to have like really good, you know, she was watching James Cameron films and things like this and inspired by the idea of really, really good separation from, you know, foreground, middle ground, background, have the actors and stuff. So Jonathan had the light that the crew didn't bring, you know, so we had this light that we, you know, we need this effect so we can boom, you know, because sometimes their solutions would do quasars for everything, which was not the way to get certain effects.
So the way they lit the film was with these sort of fluorescent tube type of lights for a lot of the film.
And they're very useful. They make it easier to light stuff up fast. But if you're trying to isolate somebody or scene, whatever, you need a, you know, like.
You need to have a modifier that's called a snoot. And it's basically just a cone that goes in front of the light and focuses it down into a, like a pinpoint. Type of light source.
And that was super useful because it points, she says, okay, it's dark. The actress is in this dark interior. We need to isolate her so you still see her, but it still looks like it's dark. Mm-hmm. Backlight her, sidelight her from a little bit from there. And now you get that separation. It's great. So that tool is great for that. Need to see a reflection of this person's face and water, you know. And so it was super, super, super useful for a lot of things. And that's kind of like knowing too. It's like I have like, my basic kit that I had when I would light was like, I'd have like this standard, like three, you know, this is back in the halogens, you know, three halogen light kit and a bunch of gels and stuff. And I would always use them. And like, I would do like what I do here. It's like, okay, even if it was a simple scene, I would go add a colored gel or something like this just to separate foreground, background, because.
I mean, even this lighting right here with Andrew and I, we've got this blue in the back. And then we've got this nice warm tone in here, so that kind of separates us from what's going on behind us.
Yeah, if we were to try to, if this was an intentional thing beyond let's just turn these off or on, we'd add another light source right behind us to give us a little bit of fringe or separation. But anyway, the point is, you can think about these things. It doesn't mean you have to buy every piece of equipment in the world. Just understand what you're trying to get out of using.
Right. No. I mean, yeah, stay within your budget. You want to, yeah, make sure when you're, if you are in the process of gearing up, don't go all in on any particular product. I had a summer internship where I made some money and I could have blown it all on a camera. And then you have a camera. That's just one small part of this giant thing that is production. Oh,
there's always another thing. There's always a better thing. And it's always like, even if it's like a 10% improvement on the thing that you have, oh, how tantalizing that 10%.
Justin, thank you, sir, always for being my co-host. And yes. Jonathan, thank you too for being here. It's been After.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.